Hey, Usama. Hello, Paul. How are y'all doing? I think it's important to remember that for those who have lost a family member because they were involved in the military in a number of combats, wars that have occurred all over the world. And right now, we have recently lost those, but many of even the World War II veterans stood to acknowledge and recognize their partners in the military who passed away. It's a very emotional time for family members and other members of the military who are veterans who lost their combat members in the war. I want to say, just for the sake of recognizing my son-in-law's uncle, and this is where it becomes international. His uncle was flying in France against the German offensive in World War II. And he literally was killed in an air combat. Not his plane was destroyed. He landed in France. And he was rescued from his plane, but he died there later from his injuries. But they actually in France have a memorial for his uncle there because they believe that because he took down those other planes that were going to bomb that city, that he's a hero to them. My son-in-law didn't even know this happened until he was looking online and saw this memorial to his uncle that's in France. They're going to go there to celebrate. So there are so many heroes that even in other parts of the country, I mean, in other parts of the world, in other countries, that we can acknowledge on Veterans Day, or not Veterans Day, on Memorial Day. Veterans Day is for those who are living and in struggle. But these are our lost heroes who saved lives themselves and lost their lives. Absolutely. Yes. I'm so sorry. I got a noise here. I was trying to get something for our video. So, excuse me. Paul, I sent a video. I don't know if you can play it, but it really brings home this message, including what Usama was just talking about. Are you able to do that? Okay. I really would like to share this with our audience. It's a music video. It's one that I've loved for many years, but it really speaks to this total message. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you catch the link, awesome. Yeah, I really hope this blesses people and it really brings home the message that Usama is talking about. But For those who are hurting and those who are having battles because of someone they lost. You know, we lost recently in Afghanistan a number of our military people. You'll enjoy this video, I think. It's really a blessing. Amen. All right. Well, first thing I wanted to say is this situation in the Sudan is continued to escalate. A very sad story from Friday that the British embassy was evacuated, or they told everyone to get out of that if they were in the Sudan to leave. This is a sad story because a British citizen who was in the Sudan, 85 years old, he was killed by snipers. His wife then died of starvation after they were abandoned in the Sudan. And you see, we're seeing that, unfortunately, the people who are left at risk in these situations, Sudan is in the middle of a conflict, and we see that people are being killed because they're not Muslim. And this has gone on years ago. I think I've said before on this program, I was dealing with foster children in care here in Mississippi who had come from the Sudan. I couldn't understand why we had 18, 16, you know, 17-year-olds in foster care in Mississippi from the Sudan. So I asked these boys what had happened. And they told me, well, their parents were killed. I said, well, why were your parents killed? They said, because they were Christians. Just as a matter of fact as could be. And this was back in 1980, maybe 84, 85. And so because I did not know or understand what was going on, because the news media never explained. They said, there's a civil war in the Sudan. They did not say as clearly as those boys said, my parents were killed because they were Christians. Well, this is a continuation of what I believe are strong indications of how far we are into end times before the return of Christ. So we have now thousands of Myanmar's displaced Christians need food and medicine, and they are also suffering. It's the Christians who are becoming victims in these conflicts. And this is something, again, the media does not want us to know. Nigeria is having very, very serious attacks against Christians. But now even in India, there, I believe, I got to pull this story up. I'm going through different stories quickly because, you know, I hope people will look these things up. But in the, let's see, India, nearly 400 churches have been destroyed. An ongoing wave of economic, or they're calling it ethnic violence, but it is against Christians. 64 Christians have recently been killed there in Manipur. So we're seeing 400 churches destroyed. Why do you think these churches are being destroyed? This is attack against Christians. So we have in Indonesia, the Sumatra Island, there have been people entering church services illegally, and they're being told they cannot enter a church service. This is official now. So Yusam is very familiar with what's gone on in Indonesia years past, but now it's like they're being ordered to stop Christian services in Indonesia. Yes, all over the world, persecution against Christians increases during these times of these liberal administrations. It's like you go and just look at the history. This is stuff that is coming back just like it did when Obama was in office. So, I mean, we've watched it. We've discussed it. We've seen it happen. We've predicted it. And it always happens this way. Another story from Nigeria, suspected Fulani Islamic, it says, I'm not going to use the word, shot and hacked to death over 40 Christians in Nigeria's Plateau State last week. The slaughter of tens of thousands of Nigerian believers, Christian believers in Nigeria, continues unabated, with impunity, and ignored by international governments, because there's no leadership from America to help Christians. So this is what happens to them around the world. No, none of them have. Yeah, this the killing of Christians is also spread into Chad. You know, Yusama, you and I knew a young man who was trying to do ministry in this area, and he had gone to Chad to do ministry. He was talking about how difficult it was. This, again, was under the Biden administration, but he felt that he was able to help, and he was trying to help some orphans in Chad. And I think about him when I see these stories. Now we're seeing these attacks on Christian communities in Chad. So unfortunately, these things that are happening are indications of the end times. This is what happens. This is what Christ said. The persecution against Christians, not just in Muslim countries, but even in India. And as we see this happen around the world, we know Jesus coming is soon, but it won't be. Yes. Corrie Ten Boom was doing missionary work in China, and she wrote about this. She talked about how these Christians in China did not understand what was coming. And I'm going to tell you now, I have a daughter-in-law who's actually from China. She has been taught in her school that these Chinese communists who took over, slaughtered these Christians, and were responsible for the murder of all these people, she has been taught in school that these were good people, and they only killed these horrible bad people. I'm telling you, my friends, this is what's coming in our American textbooks, that the people who are going to be killed, they are going to be the bad people that they had to get rid of, like American patriots and Christians. And they're going to be lied to, just like my daughter-in-law was lied to. She does not understand Christianity. Well, Yusama, I want to share one other thing, because I think as we see Islam, it's a tool of the Antichrist system, but there are so many things that are coming. And this violence, Jesus predicted, but he also predicted a world government where Christianity would be the enemy of that state, that satanic antichrist government. So here's the thing that I hope people understand. There isn't a way to get through these things without Jesus Christ. He knows. He told us. He can also prepare us. I think people want to think that being a Christian is an easy way. It is not an easy way. Jesus never said it was an easy way. And if your ministers are telling you being a Christian is all about easy way and God's going to bless you and everything is going to be good, you're being lied to. When we let ourselves be deceived by this, we're not taking God's word seriously. We're not preparing ourselves to stand for Jesus Christ. And we're not emphasizing to our loved ones and our family members how important it is that they come to know Jesus on a personal level, that he forgives their sins because they've asked for Jesus' blood to be applied to their sin and to their life. We have to share that message clearly because nobody will make it through these challenges that are coming if they do not know the Lord Jesus. And you know, sometimes a crisis drives people to pray. I believe that's the reason God allows us to see these signs coming. Not that we be frightened and not that we be scared, but we go, you know what? I think I really need to be more committed to my faith. I need to read the Bible while I can still have access to it. In many of these countries, you can't even get access to a Bible. Make sure you have a Bible in hard copy, printed on a piece of paper with ink. These little cell phone Bibles, I think, are going to be a problem because they can be cut off. They cannot allow the Bible to be on there. Look what they do to the internet. You think they can't stop you from having a Bible app on your phone? Or maybe they'll let you have it, but they'll just modify the scripture a little bit so you'll not know the truth. I believe that's coming. Is that a Bible that you're talking about? So, that's why I'm warning people, don't rely on your Bible app. Stop relying on that. Get a hard copy of the scripture because then it cannot be modified. You know, that is the importance. Why do you think they burn books? Do you realize communists always burn books? Muslims burned books, particularly of the Bible. They don't want you to see the true word of God. So please recognize you need to study your Bible. You don't need to depend on the pastor to tell you what's important in the book. It's all important, all of it. I'm sorry. I'm really preaching. No, I just, I'm good. Thank you. Amen. You got to go to... That's right. I was just going to say, I actually saw a debate with an American imam who, this crazy guy, you know who he is. He used to be a Baptist piano seller. And he was in a debate with some Muslim imams. I mean, he was supporting them. They were giving a presentation on Islam. And they had disagreement over this verse. That kind of points that out, what you're saying. Because he was trying to correct him. He said exactly what you said. And the other one said something different. And they were like, it was odd. But now I know why that happened. I was just going to say, in case anybody who's listening does not know Arabic, which I don't know, but I have studied it enough to just say simply, imagine that the vowels of words are missing, because that's what the tishkil are like. They're like the vowels that are not in those words. You have to know what they are to know how to pronounce it. And that's, you know, does that make sense? I mean, I'm just trying to help people that don't understand how confusing this is in Arabic. It's like if there were no vowels. You could have a word with three letters and there might be a vowel in the middle. That's what the tequila... I know. But because... Yeah, if you do that, that's what I'm saying. These little dots and things that are missing, they change how the whole word is pronounced. So you don't know if it's you know, you don't know if it's street or strut or what it is. That's right. Want to tell you thank you, Usama. That is very helpful to let people understand how these controversies come up. That was I liked one of the comments, Paul, maybe you could put that over, where they were talking about dots of deception. That would be a good title for a book. Absolutely.